Well, today we are going to finish off our series that we have been journeying through over many, many weeks called Foolproof, Wisdom for Life. And we've been journeying through the book of Proverbs. I hope many of you have joined us in the challenge of reading a proverb a day, and you should have repeated that several times now. Can anyone tell me, this is a bit of a quiz, what have we learnt during this series? Can you remember any of the topics? Shout them out, it's okay. You can be interactive. You remember any? What was last week? Anger management 101, yes. Any others? No, you did about as good as the 9:30 at remembering, that's okay. I'm going to tell you what they were. Take initiative, do good, develop discipline, speak truth, choose friends wisely, forge strong families, cultivate compassion, and manage anger. Lessons that help us to be foolproof in life, hopefully that help us to grow in wisdom. So my question to you is, at the end of this series, what do you think wisdom is? What are the markers of a wise person? Had a conversation early on in this series with my life group. If any of you have been using the material in your life group each week, the first one kind of asked this question, well, what even is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? And so over this series, I've been trying to answer that question for myself. I've been reading different things, come across different things in my devotions or my quiet time. And just a couple of weeks ago, I read this quote. It says, to be wise is to be eternally curious. To be wise is to be eternally curious. See, wisdom is not something that we acquire. It's not a destination. It's not an endpoint or a place that we get to. It's not something that's earned. It's not something that's just automatically handed out. And you know what? Wisdom isn't even about the knowledge of stuff. Now, I think that this is interesting because it's a reframe. It's a different way of thinking about wisdom. Wisdom is not so much about knowing things as it is about learning things. The willingness to learn and even the flexibility to unlearn or unknow some things in our lives. Philosopher Socrates said, the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. Knowing that you know nothing. And I like this perspective. I think it's a fresh perspective, even though Socrates is like a bajillion years old by now. It's a good perspective because there's nothing that drives me more crazy in life than people who are compelled to share their thoughts on things that they know nothing about. Have you ever been in one of those meetings? It generally happens in a meeting and you put something to the group and, you know, a few people have good, wise comments on something and then there's always that one person that loves the sound of their own voice and even though they know nothing about the topic you're speaking about, feels compelled to give an answer anyway. They have to speak and share. And, you know, I'm still a young person, so I listen to Triple J when I listen to the radio. And during the week in Triple J, there is a thing called Science Hour. And Science Hour is run by a man called Dr. Carl. Who knows or has heard of Dr. Carl? Yes, I think Dr. Carl is probably the smartest man in Australia. He has a lot of stuff in his brain. And what people do is they ring up on Science Hour all these tricky questions about the universe and the human body, anything to do with science. They're always wacky and random. And he can always give an answer. He has so much information in his brain. But what I love about Dr. Carl, potentially the smartest person in Australia, is that quite often in these conversations, someone will throw him a curveball, ask a question, and he will say, I don't know the answer. Let me ask some questions and get back to you on that. And I think if it's good enough for Dr. Carl, who is a very, very smart man who knows lots of facts, it's good enough for me as well. I don't know. Let me ask some questions. It's important for us to ask questions. It's how we grow deeper in our faith. It's how we grow in wisdom. So today we're going to land this series on potentially one of the most cliched and overused verses in the history of ever. I'm not talking about Jeremiah 29:11. I'm in talking about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, confession, who's ever written that in the card? Yep. Who's got it on a mug or on a drink bottle? Yeah, I think it's probably Coorong's most sold item. But today, I want to tell you that there is a close tie between pursuing wisdom and trusting in God. And actually, when we unpack these verses and we understand more about them, actually, we get rid of the clicheness of the whole verses. There is so much truth in it, and it helps us to live a life trusting and following God in a much deeper and better way. So I'm just going to break this verse down into the four parts that are there and work through them today. And the first one is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. At the center of these verses in Proverbs, and throughout Proverbs actually, we see that we are called to trust and fear the Lord. And you know, as I often do when I prepare for a message, I read quite widely. I read commentaries, sometimes I read bloggers or what other preachers have had to say about it. I like to have a big, wide scope before I begin and then narrow it down. And this week when I was reading about these verses, I came across this quote. It said, "When you trust God with all your heart, it means that you leave no room for doubt." And it made me angry. To be honest, I was annoyed when I read this quote. It leaves no room for doubt. Seriously? Who's ever doubted God before? You can be real in the room. Doubted, been fearful, unsure of what is going on. Had to go back to Dave's message last week and remind myself, be kind, tender-hearted, self-control. Doubt is not an indication of weak faith. Actually, belief and doubt can be friends with one another. They can be together in our life. They can exist together. There is this tension between trust and belief and then curiosity and questioning that actually leads us to a deeper place of trust, a deeper place of relationship with God, because when we work through those questions and come out the other side, actually we're in a much better position and our faith is made stronger. I want to remind you that throughout Scripture, but particularly in the New Testament, people asked a lot of questions. Mary asked, when an angel told her that she would give birth to a child as a virgin, "How will this be?" A lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Peter asked, "Well, how many times should I forgive?" Pharisees continually asked Jesus, "By what authority do you say these things?" And then finally, Jesus asked the question, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In her book, Inspired, an author, Rachel Held Evans, says this. She says, "For Jewish readers, the tension and question produced by Scripture aren't obstacles to be avoided, but rather they are opportunities for engagement, invitations to join in the great conversation between God and God's people that has been going on for centuries and to which everyone has been invited." Throughout Scripture, throughout eternity, people have questioned God, questioned what is going on in their life. It is not wrong. We should not suppress our doubts, our fears. We should take them to God and work through them, and it leads us to a deeper place of trust. The proverb also uses the word heart. It says to trust with all your heart. And you know, what was meant in biblical terms by heart and what we mean now are two very different things. In biblical terms, this word leb, or the heart, was used to refer to the heart, obviously, but it was also used in a wider sense to refer to feelings, intellect, the center of everything that you are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes we think that that just means, you know, the nice fuzzy feelings to trust in God. But actually, this way that we trust in God is actually with our mind, with our knowledge, with our thoughts, with our intellect, with all of our being, we trust in the Lord. So that makes me hopeful because it means that we can doubt, we can have questions, we can work through with our minds to come to a place of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the scripture says, do not depend on your own understanding. Now, this is interesting because growing up in Sunday school, I think what I was told that this meant was, if there's something that you can't quite grasp, don't worry about it. Don't depend on your own understanding. Just let it go. It's fine. Sometimes it's been used to manipulate people. You know, you don't understand something that a preacher or a teacher or a leader is saying. Don't depend on your own understanding. Just trust in God. When actually, it wasn't about that. It wasn't meaning don't ask questions, don't worry about what's going on in your life. This verse is actually part of a set of instructions within this whole Proverbs 3. And these instructions were given by a father or a mother directed to a son or a daughter. And verses 7 and 8 in Proverbs 3 actually form this poetic parallel, because that's how the Proverbs are written, in this form of poetry. And in verse 7, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, basically, this phrase, don't be impressed with your own wisdom, is just a rephrasing of lean not on your own understanding. The word understanding that's used is a Hebrew word again. And this is about understanding, knowledge. It's about meaning. So if we were to rephrase it in how we would talk these days, we might say, don't think that you have all the answers. Now, I know it's kind of contrasting, because I've just told you when you're trusting God with your heart, you should also trust with your mind. You should ask questions. You should pursue answers. And then I've just told you not to depend on your own understanding. But actually, not depending on your own understanding doesn't mean you don't ask the questions. It's just that you can't ever get to the point where you're self-sufficient, where you believe that your knowledge is more important than the wisdom of God. Do not depend on your own understanding. The third thing that it says, and this is how I think we balance those two things in trusting and where we depend, is to seek His will in all you do. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever happens, do you take time to seek God first? Do you set that time aside to say, hey, this big decision's coming up in my life, or this thing has happened. What does Scripture have to say about this? What does my gut have to say about this? Is it true to who God is calling me to be? Seeking His will in all that we do is important, because that's when God speaks to us, when He shows us the way. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God is not deliberately hiding from any one of us. He's not under some rock or behind a curtain. God is everywhere, present all the time in our lives. All we have to do is seek Him and we will find Him. And sometimes I acknowledge that that is difficult. I feel like Kylie and I go on all the time about your quiet time, being part of a small group, those kinds of things that actually help you to seek God, to seek Him and to find Him. But actually, it's so important that we set aside that time. That's why we speak about it all the time, because when we seek Him, He directs us. I want you to imagine a scene from Harry Potter. Who's ever seen Harry Potter? Maybe you've watched it with your grandkids, read the books. Yeah, okay, a few people, enough people to understand what I'm talking about. Now, Harry Potter is obviously made up, but they play a sport called Quidditch. Anyone ever heard of Quidditch? Okay, well, for those of you who haven't, there's a whole lot of people flying around on broomsticks in the sky, and there's all different balls. There's balls that are hit across the pitch and balls that are thrown and things going on in so many different directions. Often they play in the clouds and in the storms. There's so much going on. But there's one position on the Quidditch team called the seeker. And this is one person on either team, and their job in amongst all of the chaos is to find this tiny little ball called the Golden Snitch, which has wings and it flies. I told you it was all made up. And they have to focus and find this ball to end the game and grasp it, hold onto it, And that's usually how they win. They get 150 points and the game is over. But I often think, as I've watched Harry Potter, and I know I'm wondering about something that's not real, I understand that, but I often wonder, how did Harry see that amongst all the chaos of what is going on? He is able to zone in and find that little gold ball. And sometimes I think seeking God seems a bit like that in life. There's so much chaos, so much going on around us. It's hard to focus. It's hard to connect. But I want to encourage you to keep going, to keep seeking after God. Because the scripture tells us that he will show us which path to take. Now, honestly, I think that the church and our Sunday school answers when we look at this verse has done us a bit of a disservice in this last part. Because for some reason, I think people have in their mind that there is only one right path, or that God only takes care of some people on the journey. The only form of reality TV that I ever watch is The Amazing Race. And it's been on at the moment. The grand finale is tonight. And if you know anything about me, you'll know why I enjoy it. I love travel. I love adventure. So The Amazing Race is people traveling in pairs of two all over the world. They get thrown different challenges. They have to figure different things out. And you know, along this journey of The Amazing Race this season, there's been two people called Angel and Frankie, and they are termed as the church friends. You know, everyone's got a little tagline, church friends, school buddies, newlyweds, whatever they are. And they're the church friends. So they're the token Christians on The Amazing Race this year. And you know what? They're so cringy. They make me cringe. They're just so over the top with things. Every time they get interviewed or whatever, they win a challenge and they're like, oh, all glory to God. And it's just a little bit put on and over the top. And earlier on in the series, they had won a few challenges. They'd got there first. And one of them says, oh, well, you know, that's because God's with us and he's looked after us and he's taken care of us and that's what's got us through. And I thought, it's just a bit of a warped view, isn't it? What about all the other people on the challenge? God not with them? God not care about them? God not walking alongside them too? But, you know, I think that actually this view of God looking after a certain people or whatever has kind of been birthed out of this almost disservice we've done to this verse. Because I want to tell you, God's not playing a cosmic game of mousetrap with us all. We're not on some board, and if we take a step in this direction, the trap falls on us and we're, you know, bad stuff happens. Or if we step this way, we avoid it. I can't believe that that's the kind of God that we follow. So what I want to suggest to you today, that there isn't just one path for everyone to take. I want to suggest that if you trust God, if you depend on God's wisdom and not on your own, if you seek his will in everything that you do, you are on the right path. There is no one right path because walking the path is a way of life. Journeying with God, seeking his will is a way of life. And wherever you step, whatever happens in life, God will guide you. He'll redirect if you're going in the wrong direction. In Isaiah 40:3-4, the similar verb is used to describe making the highway level and by lowering the hills, filling in the valley. God straightens out the way of people on the path in order to keep them from veering from the path of wisdom. As we do these things, as we walk, as we trust, as we depend, as we seek, he is with us and he shows us where to go. Wisdom inspires us to trust him completely. So today, if you are in a season of doubt, if you're struggling, you feel a bit lost, you don't know what God is doing, I want to encourage you, keep asking questions. Don't push down the doubt. Don't suppress it. Let it out. Work through it. as you pursue wisdom, as you lean on His wisdom, seek Him and trust that the path that you are on is good. God is going to lower the hills and fill the valleys as you walk with Him. And I want to encourage all of us, let go of the guilt that we have built up, that we carry when sometimes we're afraid or we don't trust. Allow that doubt, allow your questioning to actually take you to a deeper place with Him. And so this morning, the band's going to lead us in a response. And I want to encourage you to reflect. I want to encourage you to ask yourself, am I trusting in God with my whole heart, with all that I am? Do I have questions? Do I have doubts? Am I struggling to see God at work in my life? And if you are, I want to tell you that that is okay. Take the steps to work through that, to allow your faith to go deeper, to be increased because of the questions that you ask. And ask yourself, am I really seeking Him with my whole heart?